Well, it's great to see you tonight, back on a Sunday night, and we're going to delve back into the marriage series. Are you ready to go tonight, huh? Well, I tell you, we talked about the core role of the husband in marriage, and that's to provide godly leadership for the home. And there, he's to be a servant leader like Jesus Christ was. He's to lead by serving. And boy, what a wonderful thing. There was the servant leader, and does anybody remember the other kind of leader? The lording leader. And we went through that, and we took 2 weeks to look at that issue of, are you a servant leader or are you a lording leader? And so we looked at these things about the men and really focused on the men. And so now I know that the men are all excited because now it's the ladies' turn. Can you bring me back a little bit in the A monitors? And so now it's the ladies' turn, right? Well, guess what? We're going to talk to the men again tonight. Ladies are like, yes! We're going to get to the ladies, believe me. We're going to get to the ladies. But first, I want to explore something here tonight called what every wife needs to succeed. I want to talk to the men. You know, women often baffle men. So, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Women often baffle men, and they do. And so in 1 Peter 3, he says in verse 7, he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We'll talk about that in a minute. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. When God says, dwell with them according to knowledge, in your handout it says, what he's basically saying, guys, seek to know your wife. Seek to know your wife. You know, our wives are very different from us. Besides the obvious physical differences, and aren't you glad for that, amen, guys, there are vast emotional differences as well. When the Bible refers to her, for example, here as being the weaker vessel, that doesn't mean that she's some fragile little thing and you have to go easy on her. No, it's talking about something rare and delicately crafted. I use the illustration, I think, of fine china. And the difference between fine china and paper plates, with a family of five, if we're having a meal that will lend itself to that, we'll use paper plates in a heartbeat. How about you? We'll use paper plates to save all the dishes. And you know, paper plates, you just throw them around. Hey, here, take one. Whoop, we'll play frisbee with them, you know. But we had a family that several years ago gave us some fine china. And do we still use the same plates? We only have three left. We broke all the rest. Okay. But we use the same plates everyday plates that we got when we were married 22 years ago. And we still got three of them left and still use them. Right? Huh? We have other plates, she wanted me to tell you. Okay. Yeah. We don't. There's five of us, so I don't eat and then say, okay, now wash it and now it's your turn to eat. No, we don't go out and buy us plates. We got plates, okay? You're like, that poor pastor, not got any plates. But we got plates. But we still got three from back when we got married 22 years ago. But anyway, said all that to say that this family gave us some really nice china. And they were going to be moving, and they wanted us to, they said, just pray for us every time you use this. And it was really kind of them. And of course, we treat that carefully. We don't treat it like a paper plate. We don't get out the china, and I don't go, hey, you didn't get a plate, and throw it at them, you know. We don't do that. Well, why? Because it's valuable. And that's the idea. Your wife is like the fine china that God has placed in your life as a gift, guys. And that's why he says as the weaker vessel. And so because she is a woman, in your handout, she is very different from you as a man. Remember, God made them male and what? Female. That means something. And it means that they're different. They're not the same. Okay? She's different than you. She has different needs. She has a different perspective on life. She has a different way of dealing with the world. Your wife probably has different interests. And women can really confound men at times. And guys, we can kind of just scratch our head and look at our wives. And while you may not audibly say it, you look at your wife and you say, man, I don't get that at all. I don't get it. I don't get it. And we don't. And here's what I have found, though, dealing with guys through the years. And here's what I have found in your handout. Most men are not unwilling to meet their wife's needs. It's not that they're just jerks and they're like, I don't care what her needs are. I don't care less. Whatever, you know, I don't care. Most guys aren't that way. Most guys are not unwilling to meet their wife's needs. They are simply unaware of what those needs actually are. A lot of times we're shooting in the dark when it comes to understanding our wife and her needs. Just kind of a funny story. One time, Denise and I, we were in Dillard shopping for my mother and getting a birthday present for her. And we knew what she wanted. She uses, what's that stuff she uses? It's Estee something? Lauder, yeah. And it was perfume, and it was some other thing that women smear on their face. I don't know what it was called, but we knew what she wanted. So we're asking the lady about it. And I kind of like to cut up a little bit, and Denise gets embarrassed, but I was cutting up a little bit, and I decided to have a little fun with the lady behind the counter, and I said, I just don't know if I ought to get this for my mom or the other present I was thinking about getting her. And the lady said, well, what was it? I said, well, we were at another store, and I saw a really nice pineapple skinner I thought about getting my mom. And she said, she looked right at me, she went, a what? And I said, a pineapple skinner. You know, you skin pineapples with it, and it's really useful. My mom likes pineapple, and I just don't know whether to go with the perfume or the pineapple skinner. And she looked at me and she went, go with the perfume. Go with the perfume. I said, are you sure? Oh, yeah. She said, I'm real sure. I said, okay. So I'm laughing inside, you know. And so then she's wrapping everything up and getting everything ready. Well, Denise has already left, okay? When I start that, she's gone. So she's in it. She's like, here he goes again, I'm gone. So she left. She's in another part of the store while I'm having fun. So I'm sitting here waiting, and the lady's getting everything ready. And I said, boy, my wife was really mad at what I wanted to get my mom last year for her birthday. And, of course, now she's curious. So she went, what were you going to get her? And I said, well, I wanted to get her a new set of hedge clippers. She loves doing yard work, and so I wanted to get her a new set of hedge clippers. And the lady looked at me, and she's an older lady, she looked at me, she put her hand on my shoulder, and she, real condescending, she went, you're precious, you are precious. She said, you're precious, you're just precious. And then she looked at me and she said, but you don't understand the first thing about women. And I laughed. I said, well, you're probably right. You know what? She's probably right. Guys, we probably don't, amen, know the first thing about women. And, you know, tonight what I want to do is maybe enlighten us a little and try to help us to understand a little bit about women. And that is this. There are four important terms or words that really, guys, are something you need to remember that can forever change your relationship with your wife. Now, these terms represent four important needs that your wife has. Now, they're not all of her needs, obviously. This isn't all-encompassing. But these four needs are going to directly affect the nature and the quality of your marriage. And they're really, guys, they ought to be our core concerns. We looked at our core role in marriage, which is godly leadership. But what are our core concerns when it comes to meeting our wife's needs? And that's what I want to look at. They're rooted in Scripture. They're rooted in God's Word. And so I want to look at these things. These are needs that she has that the Bible says that the husband really ought to be meeting those needs. And so we want to look at it. You know what I have found through the years in talking and with couples and marriage problems and so forth is that 9 times out of 10, it seems like, and there are exceptions, but 9 times out of 10, when there's marital conflict, it usually, while usually both are at fault, okay, it's a two-way street, a lot of it goes back to the man not providing the godly leadership that he should, because God made women to be responders, see, to our leadership. And they respond to the kind of leadership that we set and the tone that we set. They respond to us. And so when we're setting the wrong tone in the marriage, then a lot of times they'll respond wrong. And that's not right. They shouldn't respond wrong. That doesn't make it right that they do that, but that's what happens. And then she responds wrong because his leadership isn't what it should be. And then he gets madder, so he gets more determined that he's not going to meet these needs and do these things. And then the madder he gets, the madder she gets. And so she's not going to, and so it just starts this downward cycle. Well, what's going to break that cycle? We need some godly men who will stand up to the plate and say, I'll be the godly husband that God's called me to be. That's what we need. We need some men who will stand up and be the leader that God wants them to be. Now, there's 4 key words. And the first one is this, companionship. When we talk about your wife's needs, one is companionship. She needs you to be her companion. You know, God has made women, if you didn't know this, God has made women to be highly relational. Okay? And because of this, she puts a high value on the quality of the relationship that she has with you. That's important to her. She puts a lot of value on the quality of the relationship, guys, that she has with you. Now, I want you to think about this. Who is the primary buyer? I'm not saying all you women do this, okay? But I'm just simply making a point. Who are the primary purchasers of romantic novels? Women. Absolutely. Who are the primary viewers of soap opera type of shows? Why do they have them on during the day? You know, these things create a fantasy which conjure up all kinds of romantic images in which two people share in an intimate relationship and love. I mean, we got a library back here. And we have a Christian fiction section. And I remember the first few years, Pastor Rich probably remember this too. I remember the first few years, people, would over and over, they'd say to me, we need more fiction, we need more fiction, we need more fiction. And we need more fiction in the library. And it's these, fiction, these love stories and things, but they're Christian based and so forth. I guess they're okay. But I don't give care. That the fiction section could go away and I would never miss it. All right. Now, my wife, on the other hand, one of the things we laugh about is when I'm reading, I read to learn. And I want to, I'm reading a Bible study book or something about the Bible, something else. And I just want to learn when I'm reading. And one that we talked about that. And I said, you ought to read this book. She said, look, if I'm going to take time to read, I don't want to learn anything, she said. She said, I'm going to do it for enjoyment. I said, okay, all right. So we just got an understanding on that, all right? Now, I don't care anything about the romantic novels and all that thing, okay? It doesn't interest me at all. I mean, guys, have you ever watched a soap opera? Nobody will admit it in church. But you know how they work. It goes on and on and day after day and it never ends. And you just get to know each character deeper and deeper. And I've actually had people tell me they quit watching a certain soap opera for 15 years and they watched an episode and it was like they never left off. I mean, they just picked up right there. And these characters are, you just know them deeper and deeper. And of course, guys, if you're like me, you're thinking, how stupid and how corny can you get? But here's the lesson that we learn. In your handout, it says, Our wives seek to experience life with their man in a deep, intimate, never-ending way. A deep, intimate, never-ending way. There's no particular goal in mind that she has. She just wants to cherish the experience of the relationship. To a woman, being is more important than doing. And that mystifies most men. You go back to 1 Peter 3:7, and what does it say? It says, likewise, ye husbands. And what's the next three words? Dwell with them. Did you notice it did not say, give them a fancy house to dwell in? Now, there's nothing wrong with that if you can afford it. You know, that's fine. No problem. But that's not what the verse said. Verse never said you have to give your wife a fancy house to dwell in. No, it just said, you husbands, what? Dwell with them. What's the idea there? The idea is your wife needs you to just be with her. Just be with her. You know, Denise and I, it doesn't really matter to her what we do. You know, whether it's a walk out in the Florida humidity where we're sweating, and she doesn't care as long as we're together. Whether it's sitting in the car talking. I mean, there are times when, you know, we'll go out maybe on a little date night and we'll get something to eat. And the boys are inside the house and we'll come home and we'll get in the driveway. And she'll say, don't open the garage door. Why not? Because I'd like to just sit here in peace and quiet and talk. Okay. All right. Now, I don't understand that really, but okay. We'll just sit in the car, in the driveway, and talk. Whether it's I'm running to the grocery store with her, or whether it's just sitting on the back porch, whatever. It doesn't have to be some high dollar deal. It's just being with each other. Right, honey? Amen. Here's the way a man and a woman view the wedding ceremony. A woman views it as the beginning of a never-ending relationship with a lot of deep sharing. The man views it in terms of completing a goal. We did it, Brother Larry. We did it. And so after the ceremony and the honeymoon's over, he's ready to move on to other things. Did that, accomplished that, got that done, let's move on to the next goal. You know, especially his career. And, you know, for a wife, that attitude brings unexpected disappointment and it brings a lot of heartache. Because what happens is, as the guy, once the honeymoon's over, so to speak, and once he's moved on, in your handout it says the more he focuses on interest outside the home, the more his wife hungers to have him back. And to share in his experiences and to have him to be just with her. In your handout, it says she wants to talk to him about things going on in his life, in her life, and to enjoy the conversation of companionship. I want to show you something interesting. Have you ever studied the book of the Song of Solomon? The Song of Solomon is a book that pictures for us the husband and wife relationship. The God is using this book as a picture of the relationship that one day when Christ returns, that he will function in that capacity. God will be remarried to the nation of Israel, the Bible teaches in Hosea, will be remarried and brought back together. And Song of Solomon is a picture of that relationship. Now, there's application for us today, the church, but you understand it's in the Old Testament. It's primarily dealing with God's relationship with his people that he married, the nation of Israel, the Bible says. And so it's a picture, but it uses the husband and wife relationship, and it really... Is a vindication of the legitimacy of the intimacy of marriage. And if you'll turn over there, I want to show you a couple of verses that I think are insightful about marriage that we can apply. Song of Solomon. It's after Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon. Go over there to... Let's see. Let's go to chapter 5. chapter number 5. Song of Solomon 5. And let me show you something insightful. Look at the last verse in chapter 5, verse 16. Here the bride is talking. The bride is talking about the bridegroom. And notice what she says. She says in verse 16, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. And then look at this. This is precious, and I underline this. This is my beloved. He's my lover. But she says, this is my what? Friend. Isn't that great? This is my beloved. This is my friend. Now, guys, we like the lover part, don't we? But she says, no, he's my friend. Look at Song of Solomon chapter 7. You see, guys, she wants you to be her best friend. Your best friend in life ought to be your spouse. Look at Song of Solomon 7, and let's look at verse number 10. Song of Solomon 7:10 says, this is the bride again speaking, and she says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is what? Toward me. Woo! Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? I'm my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved. Now look at this. Notice the companionship here. Let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my love. Notice how they're walking hand in hand through life. And there is this companionship. And she said, oh, he's my beloved and his desire is towards me. That's what she's looking for, guys. To me, an example of this would be like going to the mall and shopping. And when the wife says, hey, let's go here to the store or the mall or wherever, she wants to go, and I understand that sometimes she wants to buy stuff, but sometimes she wants to go, not necessarily to buy something, but just to wander around the mall together, hand in hand, enjoying each other's company. Now, guys, that's likely to drive you insane. What is our attitude toward the mall, guys? Here's mine. I want to get in, I want to get out, and I want to do it in record time. Right? It's a game to me to see how fast I can get in and out. You guys are laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. We're competitive in everything we do, guys. And so we want to get in and get out and do it in record time. And we're checking our watch. And, you know, if we can do it in 10 minutes, we're like, yeah, you know, I did it. We're all proud. And what do we want to do? We want to check it off the list of chores, go on to the next thing. She's just enjoying the moment. You ever look at people in restaurants when they're eating? I don't, but Denise does, and she tells me about it. She does, don't you? She's shaking her head. She's the only woman I know that can converse with me. I mean, have a logical conversation and yet tell me what three different tables we're talking about when we left. She knows everything they said. So when you go out to eat, you ever notice that you can tell it's a husband and wife, and they sit there and never say a word? And they just shovel the food in, you know, just... and they just sit there eating. Never say a word, act like they're miserable and can't stand each other. And you know, think about this a minute. I'm going to go out on a limb here, okay? If you were to ask your wife, okay, we can go to a fancy steakhouse and eat in silence. Or I can take you to McDonald's and we can have meaningful conversation. If somehow she had to choose, you know exactly what she'd say, right? She'd say, I want to go to the steakhouse and have meaningful conversation. I'm just kidding. You get the point. What's the point? She just wants to be with you and she wants to talk to you. And in your handout, it says, men, when we take the time to be with our wife, like this Song of Solomon here, when we take time to be with our wife, we are paying her the supreme compliment. When you just are with her, we are telling her how important she is to us. We are expressing our commitment to her. You are letting that lady know that you enjoy her and you enjoy being with her. And your wife yearns for that companionship. It's what she expected when you placed that ring on her finger. It's really what she expected. I mean, have you ever noticed how when you date, how you come up with all kinds of crazy ideas to spend time with each other? And you're up till 2 a.m. talking on the phone, or you carve out time for her because you just can't wait to be with her, and you talk about deep things and you get into deep conversation and you get into all these things and ideas, you share ideas with each other, and oh, this is my vision for the future and this is what I want to do with my life, and you're talking about all this stuff, and then you get married. And it stops. And she kind of thought that might continue. And when she took your last name, that in itself tells you a great deal about what she expected. More than anything else, says in your handout, she expects to have you. She expects to have you. Your presence, your interest, and your availability. She wants and she needs your companionship. And that's why Peter says, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And by the way, one side note, you can dwell in the same house and still not provide companionship. Guys, when we're always focused on the kids, or we're focused on ESPN or Sports Center, or we're focused on, what we're doing out in the, in the woodshed, or we're focused on this and that and the other. And, we can, and I understand you have to do those things. Don't get me wrong. The kids need time and everybody needs time. But when you never carve out time for her, make her feel special, even though you're in the same house, that's not what we're talking about. Just because you're physically, geographically close does not mean you're emotionally close. And there's a big difference there. Okay? And, because some guys, it's like a lady will say, maybe in counseling, well, we're like two strangers, together. And we never talk and we never share and we never do anything. And, of course, a lot of times as guys, what do we say? Well, I'm home almost every night. And to us, that's enough. We're home. We're there. We're physically in the house, but we're on the computer or we're playing games on the computer, or we're outside, or we're doing this, or we're doing that. We're doing things we want to do. And guys, listen, let's just be honest. We can be real selfish. I'm just going to admit it right there. I got it right there. I'll be the first to admit it. We can be very selfish, very self-centered. And we can get so engrossed in accomplishing the next goal, checking off the next thing on our list, that we forget that, we need to get back to the courtship days and get back to that time when our wife was the most, or at that time, girlfriend, fiance, was the most important thing to us. And making sure that we spent time together was a priority. Well, you know what? That needs to continue over in marriage if you're going to have a fulfilling marriage. The second thing I want to talk about tonight is this, and I'm going to hit this one quick, it won't be long, and that's security. The second thing your wife needs is not only companionship, but security. She wants to be secure in that relationship with you and feel secure. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 now. Let's turn over there. Ephesians chapter 5, great passage on marriage. And a woman needs the security, that security that she gets from her man. In your handout, it says she needs to know that he can and will provide for her. She needs to know that he can and he will provide for her. And I want to just submit this to you. And I know that this is not always the case and there are extenuating circumstances. I'm not talking about the exception right now. I'm talking about as a rule. So this is a general statement. So please don't get upset with me. I know there are extenuating circumstances beyond people's control. This is a general statement. Even if the woman works outside the home, she needs to know that even if she chose not to work or couldn't work, that she would be provided and cared for by her husband. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, she knows that her husband is looking out for her. And men, we need to consider what God's word has commanded us. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 25. And I want you to really follow the thought of the passage. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Would you agree with me? Christ loved us in a sacrificial way, yes or no? Yes, there was a sacrifice to see that we were provided for. Amen? He went to great expense, personal expense, to see that we were cared for and provided for. Everything we need, we have in Christ. Amen? Well, that's because of what Christ did on our behalf. So you're getting the picture here. He says, now you live with your wife that way. The way I've loved you, the way I've sacrificed for you, the way I have seen to it that your every need is provided for, you live with your wife that way, is what he's telling husbands. Pretty big stuff. Look at verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. In your handout, it says, just as you see to it that your body is cared for, guys, you should care for your wife and see that she's cared for. Think about it. If our head hurts, what do, typically? If our head is just pounding, what do? We take something to relieve it, don't we? If our body stinks, what do? Hopefully you clean it, amen? You shower it. What do? We take care of our body. Now, as Christ sacrificed himself for our well-being so that we could be provided for, we should be willing to sacrifice for a wife for her well-being. Sacrifice. 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 Now, at that point, I think it's when we talk about this thing of security, I'm going to apply this in a very practical way. And I think in your handout, there's some questions that are some penetrating questions that we need to ask ourselves, guys. And number one is, have you made your marriage financially sound? I didn't say, have you gotten wealthy? I didn't say, are you worth millions? Just, have you made it financially sound? Look at the next question. Does your marriage offer real security for your wife? Does your marriage offer real security for your wife? Hey, here's a great question. Look at the next one. Can she trust you? Can she trust you? Look at the next question. Are your finances under control? Now, men, biblically, these things are our responsibility. These things are our responsibility. Now, I realize, again, there are exceptions to this thing, and I realize there are some women who may have been spoiled. They've maybe been born into a rich home. Maybe they're accustomed to luxury, and their husband can never make them happy. Now, what is that? That's a spiritual problem on her part that she needs to deal with. That's called the sin of covetousness. But most women aren't that way. They simply want to know that their man will take care of them and their basic needs. To be fair, there are women who work outside the home, really not by their choice. Their husband wants them to do it because he has a covetous spirit. And many times I've seen families do this. They set a standard of living far higher than they need to be happy. Let me say that again. They set a standard of living far higher than they need to be happy. And if they would reduce their standard of living to a point, if they would reduce it down, then many times, and not all the time, but many times, if they would just simply reduce their standard of living, the husbands could avoid having to work all those long hours, and wives wouldn't have to be pressured to earn a paycheck. And at this point, and again, if this doesn't apply to you, just let it roll right off your back. Okay? But you've heard the expression, if the shoe fits, wear it. So if this applies to you, you need to apply it. The devil wants couples to believe that the more stuff you have, the happier you'll be. The more stuff I have, the happier I'm going to be and the better my marriage will be. True or false? That is so false. That is so wrong. So satanic. The more, can I just share something with you that's very insightful? Never forget this. The more stuff you have, the more things you have, the more complicated life gets. Mark that down. Think about it. The more stuff you have, the more complicated life gets. Trying to take care of it. Trying to keep it working. Trying to pay for it. The more stuff you have, the more complicated life gets. And it doesn't bring happiness. She just wants you. She wants that companionship. Yes, a woman wants to have that security of knowing my husband's got my back. My husband is going to watch out for me. My husband is going to protect me. My husband's going to provide for me. But many times you would be happier if you would simplify your life, live within your means, frame your budget around the husband's income. And here's the Bible principle. Okay, here it is. The husband should love and take care of his wife just as he would his own body. Amen? That's the principle. You see, companionship, security. Those are two of our core concerns, guys, for our wives. Companionship, security. Now listen to me tonight. You know, I see couples many times, this thing of finances just absolutely drives couples insane. It causes all kinds of problems in the marriage. And, you know, couples live either beyond their means or they live right up to the edge. In other words, here's the income, and their expenses are right there up next to it. There's no buffer. So that if he loses his job, or if his hours get cut, or if she can't work anymore, or if anything changes and there's a health issue, or if one of the kids gets sick, boom, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And that's so unwise. And guys, that's our job. That's our job to see to it that we're being wise in our stewardship. And that we're not allowing covetousness to rule our home. And we're not allowing this materialistic, covetous mindset to control and dictate our life. And I know as guys that, you know, we like I said, we have this competitiveness. And oh, we was, you know, there's something in us. We just want to get more stuff, you know. And we want to just keep moving up the ladder. And I want to get bigger and I want to get better. Can I just tell you something? That is not going to improve the quality of your life or your marriage. It's not. So if you're under the illusion, you know, I mean, you see it all the time. You see couples divorce, and then they fight over all the stuff. It's a knockdown drag out over all the stuff. Oh, they accomplished a lot, and they got a lot of stuff, but it didn't bring happiness. Now they're going to fight over the stuff. And it's sad. And we really, guys, we've got to take the lead here. We've got to look at those questions, you know, that I had on your handout there. Can she trust you? Have you made your family financially sound? And it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to see to it that we're walking in wisdom when it comes to these things. And when your wife sees you doing that and making these decisions and doing this, you know, she's going to respect that. She's going to know you're watching out for her. You know, and I got two more points, and we're not going to get to them tonight. So I tell you what, let's do. I think that's enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads, and I really want to stop right there, and we'll finish this up next Sunday night. And we'll look at the two other needs, guys, that are the core concerns that we have for our wives. And then the next week, we'll begin talking to the ladies and their core role and their core concerns, what their husband needs. And we'll begin looking at that. But for tonight, let's stop there.